It's the same old thing as yesterday.
On, so please, we know it's King of Pain, but it's only in the mind. That's the key thing. It's all in the mind. Ultimately, you need to just work on the whole thing. Yes, ultimately, it is all in the mind. Thank you, Sting. Thank you, Gordon. Thank you, Andy. Of course, the Police. Probably time they actually reunited or got something together as far as life was concerned. So, Holly, your last show of 2013 mm-hmm. is upon us, and what better way than to actually say we don't have to press an MM button? Why do we not have to press an MM button at this particular time?
I don't know what that button is.
You know what the MM button is.
Oh, I know what that
you
is.
You know what the MM
is. It's because you haven't said.
I haven't said. It's time to press that button.
That button.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'll press this button instead.
Time for another Michelle Monro selection on the midweek drive for Siren FM.
There we are, you see? It is.
It's because you didn't start it off like we usually do.
And you see, this is it. You know, we change the thing around, Michelle, and we don't know where we're going here.
Gotta be on your toes.
Exactly. Michelle, have you ever been to Gibraltar?
A few times.
Yes, you see, Gabriella Peralta, making her debut on the production today, is a Gibraltarian.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's a wonderful place.
Thank you.
Absolutely beautiful. I was there a few weeks ago.
Oh, really? Yeah. What do you like about it?
Marks and Spencer's.
Yeah.
No, I love it. I love it. I love the apes, you know.
Yeah.
They're fantastic. I mean, you consider it's named England. It's actually addressed as the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more people should go over there and have a look at it. It's just wonderful.
It sounds good.
I do hope, Gabriella, we're getting some sort of acknowledgement from the Gibraltarian Tourist Board as to the amount that we're actually putting in on the show for this.
I'm surprised they're not charging us. We they've had this problem there with, you know, charging everybody extra money to get across the board and everything. We were there and they decided not to let us off the boat for 2 hours just to mess us. Yeah, because of all this fishing rights business.
Yeah, yes, we had a few problems.
They'll sort it out eventually.
Yeah, they can't legally charge you though to go for a border because that's against the EU laws. So
yeah, but
if they ever do, don't do it.
If they ever do, Michelle, Gabriella Peralta will be on the case for you.
I will bear that in mind.
Okay. Well, let it be said that the Midweek Drive family doesn't hang together. That's where we're part of the East Midlands Radio Station of the Year, Siren 107.3 FM.
Ooh.
Yeah, very exciting.
Very nicely done.
So what?
And how are you?
I'm well. I'm celebrating the happiness of the last November 2013 Midweek Drive show. But we move into, obviously, the year. Gabriella, are you well? Now we've more or less wrapped up half of your first show.
It's gone so quick, I can't believe it.
There we are, exactly. And Holly?
I'm great, thanks.
Exactly. Eddie, I think, is lying down in a darkened room after this.
Oh, yeah, he hasn't come back.
He hasn't returned. He's having the news debrief. We don't know what he's doing, etc.
Pretty quick exit. Yeah. Knew I was coming on, couldn't bear it.
Well, it's sometimes, you know, stress. Nikki Wells, I don't know what's happened to Nikki, but she may well be featured just after 7 o'clock with her interview with The Darkness. And, of course, Ed and Tom Stevens, who will be beside himself knowing that you're back live again with us. Good heavens.
He will be beside
himself because we have I'll let you say. We haven't missed anything at all. We've got something completely different. Michelle, over to you.
No, I'm here for a whole month now, and so the excitement can rise. But I'm really pleased to come live to you this week because this is a very special song. And back in the 1960s, it was commonplace for artists to record more than what was required for an album. Some of the leftover tracks would end up on singles, and others would be forgotten and gather dust in the archives. My father was no exception to this rule, and today's choice features one of those forgotten tracks that was left on the shelf until the issue of The Singer's Singer in the year 2000. The song comes from the sessions for Dad's second Capitol album, Here's to My Lady. Although we recorded four songs during the session, only one would make the final album. One of the other tracks was issued as a single release, while both of the others were shelved. Richard Whiting, Leo Robin and Ralph Rayner composed tonight's choice and dates back to 1935 when it was first recorded by Billie Holiday. With an arrangement by Sid Feller, here is a song about a lady called Emily, or Alex in your case, Miss Brown to you.
Who do you think is coming to town? You'll never guess who. Lovable, huggable Emily Brown. Miss Bravable, little Miss Brown to you is baby to me. She's baby to me.
And relax. Okay, Holly, what did you make of Miss Brown to you?
I did like it, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. And Gabriella?
Yeah, quite liked it.
All right, I see. So it's thumbs up all round, Michelle. Once again,
well, I think it's
success.
Always nice to throw an up-tempo one into the mix for a change.
It is. It kind of, and particularly when Holly is off to take part, as we say once again. How can people follow you? Is there a way of actually following you on either Twitter, social media, the link
at
Cobra
Elite? We have our Cobra Elite Twitter account.
Which is?
Oh gosh! Oh. I don't take
details.
Personally.
Exactly.
I do. I have it linked to my phone. So
Lincoln Cobra Elite Cheerleading Squad, Michelle. They are performing, representing Lincolnshire and much more. Midweek Drive, in many ways, at the Blackpool. What is it?
Blackpool Winter Gardens.
Blackpool Winter Gardens.
Yeah, and I hope
it's not on the pier and it's inside.
No, I think all the girls and the guys do want to go visit all the pier and the arcades and things because I think that's why we're going on Saturday, so we can have a bit of Blackpool time as well. But
my father worked there,
yeah,
he was actually blown off the pier and broke his arm.
Oh, no.
Bear that in mind,
Holly. Oh, my God, I'm not going near the pier.
So we need to wrap up. Well, no, it was just going down for a show, and he broke his arm and had to perform with a cast on. So, yes, it was rather different.
And we can't have the Cobra and the cheerleading squad.
That was the North Pier, though. So maybe there's another one you could use.
Yeah. Maybe we should go up the tower because then we can stand on
as long as you don't fall off.
A glass bit.
Yeah.
You
can, yes. Yeah. So there we go.
But I found our Twitter. Our Twitter's at Cobra Elite Cheer. That's Cobra Elite Cheer.
Well,
Twitter.
Cheer.
So if anybody has Twitter or you yourself, Michelle, have Twitter.
At Cobra Elite Cheer.
I used to, but I gave it up.
It's
or rather,
important.
It gave me up. Too complicated.
I did find it complicated to start with, and then it's good for kind of things like this.
Something with technology, Alex, is it's like Facebook. It started and it was marvellous, and every 5 minutes they give you a new and improved
update,
and it doesn't look anything the
same.
At all. You can't find anything. It's very frustrating for us dinosaurs.
Ah, there we are, you see. Anyway, not that I've ever seen a dinosaur actually use Twitter, but maybe that's why they went extinct. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'm one of those dinosaurs, I'm afraid.
Not at all. Don't forget, if you want some stocking fillers for Christmas, you could do far worse than get a copy of The Singer, the quintessential text written by Michelle Monroe, a wonderful biography of the late superlative, fantastic Matt Monroe, or indeed some of the Matt albums that have been released this year, of which there have been several, have there not?
Yes, we had the Rarities album and we had the Alternate Monroe, which are just something different, Alex, from, you know, always the greatest hits or the best of. And although I love the hits and they're wonderful, you know, it's nice to throw something different into the mix for a change. Mm-hmm. And the Rarities, as you know, was a collection I spent 9 years on working on over the two albums, because they're all songs that have never seen the light of day. It was stuck in the vaults of EMI and would never have been seen if it wasn't for Richard delving in and
exactly.
Us making a nuisance of ourselves.
Hats off to Richard Moore from Mint Audio Restoration. He will be joining us, I'm sure, in the not-too-distant future once again on the show. The last two questions for Michelle Monroe, of course, Holly, are...
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today, Michelle?
I have, and it was lovely speaking to Gabrielle.
Oh, thank you. Good. And can we hope to hear from you again next week?
and for the rest of the month.
Of December, the new month. Live.
Exactly.
At Siren 107.4 FM.
Well,
point three. Might be a bit crackly on that one.
Exactly.
What has happened? How many years have I been on this show?
Yeah. Just get it right, you know.
I was a dinosaur.
Well, you know.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No worries. So there we are. Michelle will return. Now, I'm not sure, Holly, whether this next one is actually being featured. It's Guns N' Roses' version of Welcome to the Jungle.
Okay.
Is that this one? Is this what you go into?
I think so.
Okay, then. This is...
Sounds like something.
Well, then that sounds...
This is the opening number for our cheerleading routine.
Oh, well, let's rock and roll. Michelle, we'll see you very soon.
God bless.
Accessing that wonderful Facebook scenario with Sarah Chase putting a little line there, a photograph of two turkeys and the strap line, something's up, the farmers just unfriended me on Facebook. Yep. Well, I liked it. Anyway, also Mike Dooley doing very well indeed. Thanks, Mike, for your early contributions to the show. Nice to see that Don't Worry About the Cursed House is still the name shot that's actually there. AnnetteAndre.com, of course, is the clear classic winner when it comes to wonderful Facebook sites, which is why we say...
Annette Andre, ace actress and top correspondent, now live on the Midweek Drive with another audio letter from upstate New York.
Precisely. And as Annette Andre fans will be well aware, including actually Sally Geeson, who's joining us later on, who said, oh, fantastic.
Oh, yes.
Attention all forgers, I'm available. Where do you think, Holly, she's going to go with this one? I mean, honestly, you know, just quick introductions.
Well,
where we've got Holly Cox of the studio and Annette, all the way from Gibraltar, the fabulous Gabriella Peralta.
Hiya.
There we are. Exactly.
Hello.
It's over to you, Annette. Share with us what's happening with respect to Attention All Forgers. I'm available.
Okay. Right. Attention All Forgers, I'm available. It's not often that you get a chance to be on the cutting edge of a new tradition, but that's what I fell into when I attended a friend's art gallery opening a while ago. Wandering the white-walled, brightly lighted space jammed to the gunwales with trendy art types, I was introduced as a fellow painter to a man whose star is on rapid rise as a must-have with the A-list collectors of contemporary art. After some pleasant chit-chat, he asked if I'd sold any of my work. Not a lot, I lamented, but things are looking up, sales have increased. Well, he sniffed, you'll know you're home free once you've clinched your first forgery. I've had 10 so far, and just this week there's been 3 more reported in London, he said, beaming proudly. Well, time was when we thought art forgery was a no-no, where plagiarism of the written word or counterfeiting a fiver now and then was considered poor taste. Fobbing off a queer Warhol or Picasso was beyond the pale. Well, my friends, unless you've been holidaying on the space station, you'll be aware that that old saw, forgery is the sincerest form of flattery, has come home to roost with a vengeance in museums and billionaires' art collections the world over. Of course, forging works of art is hardly new. Indeed, many a fabulous collection of Greek and Roman art is riddled with fudged fig leaves, and for every authentic Egyptian papyrus or a mummy case from King Tut's treasure-filled tomb, there's a warehouse of buyer's regrets. Indeed, there was such a massive trade in phony Egyptian art sold up and down the Nile to traders from Syria and Persia that they're still popping up in modern collections and auctions thousands of years later. But for a fraud with legs, nothing beats the 600-plus years that the Shroud of Turin has riveted the attention of devout believers and adamant mythbusters. From the mid-1300s, a linen cloth bearing the rust-colored, full-length outline of a bearded man, eyes closed in death, has been touted as the sheet Christ was wrapped in when taken down from the cross and placed in the tomb. Not only does the linen show the front of a man, complete with wounds to his wrists, but also his back, outlined in some detail. From the moment this proof
of Christ's martyrdom was put on display in a small French town, the devout fell to their knees and declared it a miracle. Over the centuries of the Shroud celebrity, there have been naysayers declaring the artifact nothing more than a blatant, if clever, fraud. That the blood-colored outline was rendered in paint and not by divine intervention. It took a carbon-14 test in the 1980s to prove beyond a doubt that the shroud was indeed a fraud. The outline created by using an iron oxide-rich paint. That, plus a written confession by the Frenchman who painted the shroud in 1348 and was suppressed by the Catholic Church for centuries. You'd think that this overwhelming evidence would have put paid to the cult that fervently believed the relic to be authentic, but of course it hasn't. Large sums are still raised to counter the scientific results and confirm what the devout have known all along. So, why the counterfeiting of art and not, say, Ivan Novello recordings? Well, the obvious answer is dosh, gelt, moolah, simoleons, whatever currency is used to crisscross the palms of the forger-collector partnerships. As Joel Grey sang in Cabaret, money makes the world go round. And in today's world of financial uncertainty, name-brand art is the hot go-to hedge fund. Hung on penthouse walls or submerged in Swiss vaults, the art, like a fine wine, only matures in value. Where jewels or gold coins were once the customary emergency supplies for the rich, who might have to beat a hasty midnight departure to keep body and wealth intact, Picasso and Damien Hirst are the trusted Bernie Madoffs of the moment. How long has it been since you read or heard the word masterpiece immediately following a reference to a Rembrandt without a dollar sign, elbowing into first place over its artistic merit? A treasure hoard of art stolen by the Germans during World War II was recently discovered in a recluse's Munich apartment. Hidden in the murky interior were more than 1,000 paintings and prints, the cream of German Expressionism and French Impressionism. Every news report of the find that I saw on TV or read in the papers said $1.4 billion art hoard was discovered, or some such, but always trumpeting the dollar value of the treasures first. There was a time in dusty memory when art was appreciated for its visual beauty or stunning impact on our senses. But of course, it's also been inextricably attached to social status as a rite of tribal initiation for the newly haves to join the ranks of the always haves. Recently hatched millionaires such as Andrew Carnegie and J.P. Morgan here in America at the turn of the last century amassed vast collections of paintings and sculptures. By all accounts, they were personally involved with the acquisitions and not just writing checks to hoover up Europe's masterpieces willy-nilly. Morgan, in particular, apparently took great pleasure in certain pieces of his collection, in particular a set of very large engraved silver plates attributed to a medieval Italian sculptor famous for his exquisite silverwork. When a dealer, expert in medieval Italian art, reluctantly informed Morgan that his beloved plates were undoubtedly the work of a modern forger, now on the run from the law, Morgan didn't miss a beat. "Well, let me know if he surfaces. I'd like to order 6 more," he said. Thomas Hoving, who headed the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York for 15 years, said that of the more than 50,000 artworks he examined for inclusion to the museum's collection, a good 40% were outright frauds and another 20% had been so restored that they couldn't be called originals. Art is truly in the eye of the beholder. And while most of us couldn't tell a real Vermeer from a fake, a really good forgery still has aesthetic value to please, if not to legitimately bring the big bucks. Indeed, not too many years ago, the British Museum mounted a large exhibit called, appropriately enough, Fake, filled with brilliant, and not quite up to scratch phonies had passed for kosher down through the ages. Naturally, it was the hottest ticket in town. So, if there are any talented forgers out there with some time on their hands, I'd be truly flattered to one day assure a dealer or a patron that that painting is definitely not mine. Close, but definitely not an authentic André. Thank you very much.
Genius.
That's it.
Genius. And I do like, Annette, the fact that on your Facebook update you actually noted to please check into your Facebook and Twitter accounts for animal news, but also that you'd hope that people would join the growing audience of the show, hosted by that MC with a smooth gift for snappy patter, Alex Lefchuk.
You like that, do you?
Oh, my word.
Good.
Astounding stuff. Holly, what did you make of the forging scenarios of Annette there?
I do agree. I mean, it's bad, but
it's bad, but
it's very nice.
It's a business.
Thank you. Yeah.
So, yes, exactly. Yeah. Gabriella from Gibraltar.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Yeah, it is bad, but I guess it is a business. That's how it is.
It's bad, but it works through that whole process.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, it's sort of stimulating that whole.
Now, taking away, of course, from the artist.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, and let's face it, it's plagiarism. It's theft. It's intellectual theft, and it's not good. So step away from the whole thing. You know, let's not beat around the bush with that. It's Thanksgiving, for goodness sakes. We're supposed to be celebrating the whole thing, not thieving. Yes, honestly. How are you celebrating Thanksgiving in Woodstock, Annette?
Oh, well, we have some friends who are nearby.
Yep.
We always spend Thanksgiving with them. It's lovely. They're a really bright sort of younger couple, which is really nice. They're in the music business, and they have friends in the music business and entertainment and things like that. And Arthur's grandson is coming up to join us.
Hey.
He's in New York.
I think we should put Arthur together with his grandson on the show all these days. But Lynette, we'll throw these last two questions to you. Is Arthur ready and set to go?
He is ready.
Set excellent.
To go, I have to find out. Oh, so I'll just pull down.
Well, that's well. Annette, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I certainly have. Always do. And although you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, I wish you a happy Thanksgiving anyway.
It's wonderful. I'm sure we'll speak before Christmas. So there we are. Annette heads off, and hopefully the baton is passed to the ace writer, producer, Hollywood classics, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Murder, She Wrote, The Addams Family, The Green Hornet, Bonanza, May Gray, a whole heap of other things, Arthur Weingarten. Are you back with us?
Yes, I have to go.
Hey! Do you notice the wonderful slight pause there, showing the gift for show business that never leaves. You know, always focus on that basis. Happy Thanksgiving, Arthur, as we approach that season.
Thanks, too.
Very good. But if you're a turkey, just don't worry. I'm sure it'd be okay.
I'm not one, but
no.
I'm sure for the number of them.
Yeah, exactly, sir. It's worth working. Now, when last we spoke, obviously all heck was breaking loose. We had a romantic novelist in the studio. We had Nikki Wells. We had breakdowns and connections. We had all sorts of things working through that. We did say we'd talk about romanticism in the media. We've got two fabulous leading ladies this side of the Atlantic for your good self, Arthur. I'd say equal to Annette André in every sense of the word. But maybe, you know, obviously that's a high sort of reading. We have Gabriella Peralta, who's from Gibraltar.
Hi.
And
we have Holly Cox. Holly is, of course, one of our ace cheerleaders.
Hello.
Holly.
Yeah. So, in terms of romance, was that something you kind of brought into your writing and such like? Or do you think, no, it's the 20th century or 21st century, there's no time for romance now?
Well, you know, you always tried to do something because they hired actresses, so, you know, they couldn't all just run around like men. So
very true.
We could do, but you know, in thinking of this, I dredged the shallowness of my mind, what's left of it, and I came up with something that I think you might appreciate. Mm. On a Girl from U.N.C.L.E. with Stephanie Powers
Noel Harrison.
Noel Harrison.
Exactly,
yes.
As Mark Slate. And Leo G. Carroll as Alexander Waverly.
Yes, but he just passed away, Noel, about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I was very sorry to see that. He was a lovely fellow.
Indeed.
Anyway, in one of the episodes that I wrote, I had Noel and Stephanie in a clinch, and it was at the end of an act, I think the first act. Mm. And I wrote, as they kissed, I wrote as a description, so therefore nothing that was seen on screen or heard over voiceover or anything. I said, they kiss long and deep, fade out. The Spencer for NBC, which was the network that it played.
Did he not allow a long and a long and deep kiss then?
Where did you hear what he said? He wrote back with a note attached to the script. Very nice job. Not too many comments here, just one or two things. But a no-no at the end of Act 1. The kiss. Long yes, deep no.
Yeah.
That was it. Yeah. So if you want to know what it was like in the 60s in America with sex or anything compared to today's world, it was medieval.
Holly, your thoughts on that? I mean, you're a drama graduate. You know, do you ever get director's notes saying long?
I've never had a long, deep kiss. I don't really know what a long, deep kiss is.
Steady on. There'll be lots of offers flooding into the studio. You know, just rolled on that basis. Yeah. Gabriella?
Oh, God, no. No. I've obviously never done drama, so I wouldn't know if I ever saw that on the script. Yeah. But... yeah, I'll feel very uncomfortable maybe with a long, deep kiss. Who knows?
Depends on the leading man, surely. You know, I mean, that would be the sort of.
Uncomfortable if I was being filmed.
And of course, the filming side of things as well. But yeah. Extraordinary. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever even had to kiss anybody.
I have to say, on that particular day, Stephanie was married to the actor Gary Lockwood, who was in 2001, and Gary and I were friends, and we used to race together in cars. And that day, both of us were taking our cars to a test run that in order to race on a track. And he watched this kiss. And Gary, I don't know if anybody remembers him, he was an ace football player at UCLA before he became an actor. And he was about 6'4".
He was in Star Trek, Where No Man Has Gone Before. He was James Kirk's best friend, who became a godlike creature. Gary Lockwood.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, and he also did a wonderful series, which unfortunately lasted just one season, called The Lieutenant.
Yeah, with Gene Roddenberry.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Boy, are you welcome. You know, if I could get you in my mind, I'd be 20 again.
Oh, well, we can always do a mind exchange for a time, Arthur. You know, you can rental, you know, as well as available. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's worthwhile sorting through there. But yes, the lieutenant, which obviously gave Gene Roddenberry his break in terms of American television as an ex-policeman and developing that whole side of things. At one stage, I think Gary Lockwood was actually put forward as a possibility for James T. Kirk himself. But after an attempt that Jeffrey Pike, obviously, the late Jeffrey Pike, took over the role as, Jeffrey Hunter, obviously, played Christopher Pike in the original pilot. That was deemed to be too cerebral, so they went to a second pilot, which had William Shatner and the aforementioned Gary Lockwood in as Gary Mitchell, Kirk's best friend.
You're a portable encyclopedia.
I'll actually complete. How do you
retain all of this and still manage to eat? Incredible.
You put those sort of things to one side, Arthur. Time is precious and all sorts of things. We've got to fit in a piece with actress Sally Jesson, which is coming up, which also features an extraordinary sort of line that she wraps up with myself, really. I shall say no more in terms of the best ways to keep warm. But Arthur, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us, albeit slightly shorter than normal, on the show today? Has it been good for you?
Absolutely terrific, I thank you.
So can we look forward to hopefully featuring you again in the very near future, certainly this side of Christmas, but post-Thanksgiving?
Yep, absolutely.
Exactly. Time now for that Sally Jesson interview, which was a pre-record, which is coming up live now. Now, when you talk about genuine legends of televisual history and a whole heap of other goodies, etc., you probably would actually add the name Sally Jesson to that. Quite rightly so, because with every single episode of Bless This House, plus a whole heap of other goodies, you might sort of say, this is truly what a wondrous graduate of the Corona Academy Stage School will be about in every sense of the word. But to talk
talk about ways of keeping warm, plus a whole heap of other things. We are delighted to welcome the aforementioned Sally Geeson. Sally, good to speak with you. How are you?
Hello, Alex. I'm very well, thank you.
Fantastic. Now, what an interesting year. I mean, obviously getting back into the business of show after obviously taking time out and working in education and so on.
Yeah.
Clearly, you are the Anglia TV campaign coordinator for Anglian Home Improvements. And, you know, just fascinating, this line in which we were talking today about the top 10 ways in which Brits keep warm. Fascinating. I mean, were there any major surprises in terms of this from your own point of view?
Well, yes, there were, actually. On this survey, there were. I mean, one of them, for example, was the amount of women who wear socks in bed.
Yeah.
That was something like 48%. I found that quite a lot.
Well, we're not going to go into bedroom etiquette. That's one for Liz Brewer, and we'll actually sort of move into that for another line entirely. But, yeah, it is interesting that clearly the old classic sock tradition is useful. I was personally a little bit concerned about putting the laptop on your lap, because surely radiation is still a risk there.
Well, do you know, I think... You know, that's a point. That is a point. Mm. But it's what came up in the survey. People put their laptops on their lap because of the heat to keep them warm.
Yeah, but it's the extremity, Sally. That's the key thing, which is why I can go with the wearing socks up to a point, putting the clothes on the radiator before getting dressed, cuddling the cat or the dog. Well, if you've got one, fine. But, you know, you can't just borrow one for the whole system.
No, but you can cuddle your hot water bottle,
precisely,
can't you?
Precisely, exactly. Or indeed, just wearing layers, extra layers of clothes and warming up with a hot drink, all of which are sort of top on from that point of view. I was thinking in many ways there's clearly got to be a situation comedy just begging to be written about this, and I could almost see the late, great Sid James and yourself, Diana Copeland, and go on, actually connecting on putting in the Anglian Home Improvements. I mean, certainly Carry On the Conservatory also could surely be written. But
I think you're right. And you know something? The guy who played my brother, Robin Stewart, in Bless His House for all those years, he went to Australia to live for 30 years, and he's just come back. Mm-hmm. And I went to see him after all these years. So wouldn't it be lovely if we worked together again?
I think the campaign is just about to get started. We'll launch it here with the Midweek Drive and Siren FM. I think it's essential that sort of moves through. Not only that, of course, because your website launched this year, and a phenomenal number of folk obviously sort of accessing the joys of what I have to say is a highly professionally designed and looking site.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm glad you like it. Actually, I've got a new one coming out on the 1st of December, so there'll be all sorts of new photographs on there and new clips. But, yeah, it's been great fun doing the website, actually.
I was co-hosting an event at the Royal Television Society earlier this week, actually, with Nick Ross, and we were talking about the delicate topic of ageism in the media. From your own perspective, though, Sally, I mean, you just have a layer of youth that's just there, which is always there. I mean, even now, the brightness, the sparkle is there. How do you do it? How do you maintain that youthful outlook?
I don't know. When I was working in education, I had to train, and I had a mentor, and she wrote in the notes, Sally has a very cheerful disposition.
Well, it's something needed in education, as many of my students will tell you. But that's a different line entirely. As far as the sort of the Anglian Home Improvements packages is concerned, I did like the way you actually got the gig, because it was extraordinary that in many ways we hear about celebrity endorsement, which is fine, but you've obviously benefited, and obviously in a sense, you have not just liked the product so much, but they've liked you, and it's just been a magical marriage.
Well, it has, and I was so lucky because It was very cold last winter, and I decided to have some new windows. I thought, yep, I've got to do it. It'd be an investment. And I chose Anglian to fit my windows. And while the guys were doing it, two guys fitting the sitting room, I just said, oh, do you know what? I love these windows. I think I ought to be your Anglian girl. And they laughed and said, oh, so do we, Sal. So we think you should too. And lo and behold, I am. Isn't that lovely?
And, obviously they recognise quality talent when they see it. That's important, crucial to the whole side of things. Fascinated about your time in education. Clearly there are so many skills that you develop as an actor, developing the whole range of things, good communication skills being very much within that. What sort of areas did you specialise in as far as the educational aspect was concerned?
Special needs.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was working with children with special needs. Mm-hmm. And actually drama came in very, very useful all the time, because all children like to dress up and like to act. and even special needs children. And it's so good for them. It gives them confidence. And we had lots and lots of fun doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure you're just going for sainthood, aren't you? I mean, that's the bottom line. It will be, you know, we'll move. I mean, the next thing will clearly be, it'll be Dame Sally Geeson, and we'll gradually sort of progress away from that point of view.
Alex, you're so charming.
We just call them as it is. That's the important thing. That's why, as we mentioned, when we talked about, obviously, some of the other areas you've been working in, I noticed the strange report was in, was, of course, the fantastic Anthony Quayle, who was there. And, of course, Annika Wills, who is also sort of connected in all sorts of ways. But that was very much, I suppose, an early X-Files, really, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And, you know, Richard O'Sullivan, who I went to school with and I'm still friends with, he was in that as well. Yeah. And Ian Ogilvy. In fact, they kidnapped me in it and I was Miss America.
Well, you see, accents as well. Fantastic. You know, it just works through that particular base and, quite extraordinary in that whole line. Obviously, you've experienced a whole range of changes in the business. We speak at length about the way that things evolve and change. We've got multi-platform natures, etc. Do you think we're actually sort of... We talked about the golden age of Bless This House and television. Do you think actually it's a case of we look back nostalgically, but, you know, many ways we need to sort of cherish what we've got at present, really?
Yes, it's all progress, isn't it? You can't condemn progress. You know, it's got to happen. But I do think that in the 70s it was a golden era. And when I was working at Thames Television, I was so fortunate, and I look back now and think, wow, that was really great, because I was working alongside Tommy Cooper, Benny Hill, Eric and Ernie. All these people were in the canteen having lunch, and I, at the time, I thought it was great, but even now I think, I was very fortunate.
Well, I tend to blame Dickie Davis from World of Sport and Harry Carpenter for my broadcasting scenarios, but that's a different line entirely. We've got to ask you, what's your own favourite way of keeping warm, Sally? Is it just a case of, you know, lots of exercise, or is it a case of running the hands under the cot tap, or is it something completely different?
No, I have going to buy this Christmas myself a onesie. Have you got one?
I've actually steered away from that particular sartorial style, but you could be setting off a whole new trend. Well, extraordinary. Well,
there's no drafts, you see. It's all in one. But I must say, it doesn't suit every man, although the producer in the studio here tells me he has.
He's not
one.
Wearing one now, is he? Surely. Please. I mean, yeah, it's a step too far, really. I mean, I appreciate that we have some cracking work with Chris Brooks and the whole thing, but to do it in a onesie, no.
No, he hasn't got his onesie but I think when he gets home, he pops it on, and then he doesn't answer the front door.
Yes, that's it. Because I think, you know, for me, and I'm again talking with our etiquette experts, etc., there are certain things you just would not do, and certainly going outside in a onesie, it's no. Just please, you know, it's vital. The original survey was carried out, of course, by One Poll. You had over 2,000 people who were responding to this. I mean, I feel, Sally, as though to go from Anglian Windows through to stage and screen through to a variety of other things, need to ask you there on behalf of some of our other performance students that we actually have here at the home of Siren FM at the University of Lincoln. Is there any advice that you might provide for sort of young folk now thinking, I want to be like Sally Geeson, I want to have that kind of career and develop my own sort of line?
Oh, that's very flattering. Thank you for saying that. But actually, I don't think it could ever be like it used to be. It was very different in those days because there weren't many of us. There was Susan George, Francesca Annis, my sister, me. You know, there were the whole load of actresses, but not that many. So we went for the same roles. Tessa Wyatt is another one. And one of us would get the part. So we kept working. But today, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of actresses. So it's just a case of sticking at it and trying to enjoy it. That's the main thing. Don't get too competitive. Enjoy yourself. Have fun.
But as you've also proven effortlessly, Sal, ultimately cream will always rise to the top, as you've proven. And it's great that you're actually back in the business of show. I mean, we say we look forward to a whole variety of other factors as well, which is brilliant, in addition to, obviously, the official front of Anglian Home Improvements. Official front, that sounds... Official spokesperson. Let's get the thing right. Two final questions. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on this, your debut for the Midweek Drive for both Siren FM and Southside Broadcasting.
I have had an absolutely lovely time. It's so nice to talk to you. A pleasure. Thank you.
It's a kind of our customer satisfaction survey. I feel, you know, these days with surveys, it's important we finish the interviews with these kind of lines as well. The next critical question, Sally, is can we possibly look forward to maybe featuring you again? I'm thinking, you know, maybe we should actually sort of counterbalance Annette Andre's letter from upstate New York and Woodstock from a letter from Surrey or Sussex, etc., from that point of view.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? I'd love it. And I'd love to come to your studio one day.
Well, I think, given that we have studios in Lincoln and in Teesside, and even sometimes we sort of do the portable thing in London, I think we will, let's set that as something we will have as a target for 2014.
Brilliant.
That's the whole thing. We need something to sort of celebrate the fact that now the Olympics is all over, etc. We need to work on that basis.
Oh, thank you. I can't wait. And I'm going to bring you a onesie.
Well, almost leaving me speechless there, Sally Jason. But a delight as ever. We will speak again very soon. Many thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, you heard it there, Holly.
Alex know. Is going to get a onesie.
That's a great idea.
But, yeah. Well, once again, yeah. You know, what can one actually say? Gabriella, would you like director or truth seeker? Director or truth seeker?
Director.
Okay. That's okay. Yeah. You've gone for director. Here's director.
This is Malcolm Tomlinson, actor, horse racing commentator and voice-over artiste, proudly presenting the Midweek Drive's regular 6:30 p.m. correspondent. Whether he's in his PJs or not, the truth is out there, director extraordinaire, Mr. Phil Leonard!
I don't even know if they have onesies in California, actually.
Yes, I think so. Or he could be in a onesie today.
He could indeed be in a onesie, if he knows what such things are. Linus, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm excellent, and indeed, I managed to miss the part about that in that conversation with Sally Jason that I was hoping very much to hear.
Oh.
But I'm assuming that I'll be able to listen to that in its entirety in a podcast format.
Will you? I will indeed. Exactly. Yes. Happy birthday.
Where do I go to do that?
Happy birthday, Phil Leonis.
Oh, is it? Happy birthday.
Exactly.
As I said this morning, the thing about Americans, they celebrate their birthdays all week. So the fact that he celebrated the joys of 45 revolutions of the planet Earth and a variety of other things over the whole thing earlier on Monday means that today we can still say happy birthday, Phil Leonis.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for the lovely Jackie Lawson e-card. I absolutely adored it. I've looked at it several times. And yes, it was 45, and you would have appreciated this. At the end of the evening, which was about 2 o'clock in the morning, it became a 45 RPM party where I wired up the old hi-fi and put down a couple of vinyl singles. And I thought Alex Lepchuk would appreciate
that. Vinyl, Gabriella, was something that preceded CDs.
Yeah, I know about them. Hey. I'm not that young. Well, obviously, only 20 years old, but I remember. I remember seeing them around.
I remember seeing them. They might be popular in Gibraltar. I mean, after all, you only went from analog to digital recently in your newsroom. So,
yes.
Yeah.
So
do they make vinyl onesies?
No.
No.
Okay.
quite right, Holly. I don't know.
Maybe that's a new thing. We can have a vinyl onesie someday.
It would be very uncomfortable,
yes,
I would have thought.
I would have thought. But maybe a design of a vinyl onesie.
Yeah, you could have like a middle.
Yeah.
Do you think
a needle.
So? I can see you getting carried away with this, Holly. I can see that, you know, you're clearly... Yeah, I'm not going to wear one.
It's a webcomer.
You're talking substantial funds if I'm going to do that, even for Sally Jason, you know? It's me. Anyway.
What exactly is a onesie? Is it pajamas? Is it a bathing suit?
It's an all-in-one pyjama, so you've got your top and your bottom all together, and then like they usually have like buttons or a zip kind of at your front. So it's like an animal outfit. Like imagine that,
like a baby growth.
Yeah, like a big yeah.
Yeah, for babies. I mean, we do it for children.
Yeah, like those.
For adults.
Yeah. So an adult one. With legs and then
legs and everything.
Feet and stuff. Yeah.
And you have one, Holly.
I had a tiger one.
I had a tiger one.
It's a tiger, and then it went. A hood over my head was a tiger head.
Yes.
And then I have.
And how old were you when you had this?
Oh God, 21.
Right.
I'm 22 now.
Yeah, yeah,
Going on 23.
Yeah, okay. Gabrielle, have you one to
I actually own one. I bought one about a month ago. It's a panda onesie with a cute little pink bow at the top.
Aww.
I absolutely love wearing it. I probably wear it way too much.
And you're really little, so it'll look really cute.
Yes, I'm a small girl as well. And I also have a half onesie, which is basically a jumper, but of a reindeer. So I have the antlers ready for Christmas. I'm already prepared. I've been prepared for over a month now. So,
we've pushed the boundaries out once again, as you can tell, Phil, with our new look midweek drivette team, basically. So
you'll actually enjoy my hat, actually, Scott Pearson.
Well, there I go. There I go as an American guilty of ageism again, Alex, because here I am just assuming that onesies must be for children. And
I will now take a photograph of Holly wearing her interesting hat, which is how would you define that hat at present, basically?
Ewok.
It's an Ewok hat.
especially
for you, Phil, and going up on Facebook later on today, we have Holly wearing her Ewok hat, as recently just purchased today. I think we've nailed that one. Yeah, well done. That's marvellous. That's great.
It's actually a year old.
A year old Ewok hat. It's just like one big Phil Leonis party
so
here.
Cozy,
it's exactly.
But yes, onesie. So
yeah, they
probably have them over there.
That's somewhere.
You know, Alex, I always did enjoy kind of the concept of celebrating one's birthday week. But I must say that now at 45 revolutions around the sun, I don't have it in me anymore. I mean, I thought that was going to happen this time. But yesterday, the day after the big birthday celebration, I slept till 3 p.m. That's how much the celebration took out of me. So... you know, I may not be getting any younger, but I am picking up speed as I go downhill.
Well, that's the way forward. I was just momentarily distracted there by Phil by Linda Van Marnen, who has just said, "When are you on? I'm listening, but I hear a woman. I don't think your voice changed that much after your birthday, did it? It's all right, Linda. Phil's back with us now. You know, he's not doing the whole thing." And she now responds, "Okay, there you are, right on time. Hi, Phil." To which she then follows up with, "Pajama. ..." Okay, ..." You see, earlier in the show, as you're well aware, Gabriella, we put to rights the Gibraltar Spanish question, thanks to Mike Dooley and the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel we've gone on to onesies. Yeah. There aren't many radio... That's why we are the East Midlands radio station of the year, of course.
you and I were thinking in lockstep, because I was thinking right now about you being the East Midlands station of the year, and congratulations to everyone there. But really the reason I think you are is because of how much time you spend reading Facebook posts aloud on the air.
You think so? Yeah. It's that little added edge, really, of interactivity carried through. Yeah. Yeah. Of course, next week we'll be featuring from Vocative, a young lady who's kind of taking the next stage in social networking. Vocative, genuine comments and interactivity. That'll be around about 6:05 next week on the show. But anyway, Phil, what other comments have you got to pass muster on Gabriella's first midweek drive show? But hopefully you'll be... Have you found it?
I found it quite good, enjoyable. I do City Vibe once every 2 weeks on Siren.
Yeah.
But this is quite different because it's more... No, no, it's not so scripted. It's more like being yourself. So I quite enjoyed being myself in this show.
Very good. And hopefully your parents have enjoyed listening
as
well. Yeah,
and my uncle as well, my Uncle Douglas.
Uncle
he's listening.
Douglas listening.
Hi, Uncle Douglas. And Jonathan from Derby's listening
and Jonathan from Derby as well.
Bringing all the audience.
Oh, my words.
To Midweek Drive.
It's like the Peralta people, as we say. That's wonderful. So, carry on, Phil. Where do you want to go? Is it director's notes, or do you want to actually talk about attentional forgers? I'm available. Rather you didn't, because we spent a lot of time with Annette on that.
Well, I want to talk, actually, in an interesting way, a director's perspective, but something, again, coming out of the ongoing conversation that you've been involved with in terms of ageism in the media. I've been thinking about this because I know that topic matters to me and to Dean on our show, and we're going to indeed have you on to discuss what took place
last Wednesday.
And yes, really looking forward to that. But I was thinking about this when I went to see the new film from director Stephen Frears, which is a wonderful movie written by, produced by, co-starring Steve Coogan and starring Dame Judi Dench, who will get an Oscar nomination, becoming one of the oldest ever performers to get an Oscar nomination this year. And the name of the movie is Philomena. And it's a wonderful film, the true story of Philomena Lee, based on the book by Martin Sixsmith, the journalist that Steve Coogan plays, about a woman who goes searching for the child she was forced by the Catholic Church to give up for adoption 50 years earlier. And the journalist who helps her track down what happened to her son. And that sounds so heavy and so emotional, and it's this amazing work, as you would expect, written by Steve Coogan and directed by Stephen Frears, where the tone of this film is constantly surprising. It's, yes, it's emotional, and yes, it's heartening and uplifting and all these, but it's also incredibly funny and just really incisive character comedy. And I found myself so moved, Alex, at the end of the movie by not only the movie, but by the fact that I was in the hands of this master storyteller, Stephen Frears, who's at the top of his game at 73 young years of age. And this was on the eve of me turning 45. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know what? Whatever happens, when I'm 73, I am still going to be fighting the good fight and trying to do something as meaningful as what Stephen Frears is doing. And it also struck me that when Stephen Frears was my age, he was just making his mark with movies like Prick Up Your Ears and My Beautiful Laundrette, which, not coincidentally, were two of the movies that really inspired me to start studying film, and especially studying British film. And so it was this wonderful kind of, you know, eve of my birthday synchronicity, where all these topics, these ideas of ageism, and also what I've always believed and what you and I have talked about, that it's really great when we get to be part of an ongoing conversation. It's not about age so much as making sure that we continue to speak to the past and speak to the future, that we try as much as we can to speak to all ages without speaking down to any of them. And that's one of the reasons that I just love being on this show each week, because I find that you, through your format, Alex, managed to do that just about as well as anyone I've ever encountered.
The best moment in any long journey that makes your dreams come true comes not on the day you realize they have, but on the day you realize how little they matter compared to loving the adventure they've inspired. Don't ask me why. I just know what I know, the universe. P.S. You've always been part of my journey.
Just felt it was important that the universe actually got its little word in there, Phil, and we appreciate the comments, don't we, Holly?
Oh,
we do. We do, exactly, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So, Gabriella, yeah. Any questions for Phil Lynas? As I showed you one of his movies physically in the office. The truth is out there. We heard a trailer earlier, you know, for that whole thing, connected with Mike Dooley on that basis. Any questions you'd like to put to the Lynas Meister about life, the universe, life in California, Los Angeles, all the rest of the bits and pieces?
Yeah, can you tell us a bit about your life in Los Angeles? Yeah. Maybe find a bit more about you so our listeners will enjoy?
Chillpackhollywood.com, Fuzz Aldrin, The Lady Killers. There are so many. There's a plethora, multifaceted dimension. Which one do you want to actually focus on? Which one do you think she should focus on, Holly? I mean, we've got sort of 6-7 minutes on the show before, of course, Nikki Wells' interview with Ed Wellman and one question by Tom Davis with The Darkness actually features, which is quite nice because it is quite dark, so it'll be coming up after 7 o'clock.
Oh, well, we do like what's happening. We'd like to hear what's happening with The Lady Killers, don't we?
We do like to find out what's happening with The Lady Killers.
And it's on here as well. And I've just logged on the website, but I can't watch the video because we're live on air.
You can't watch the video because we're live on air. Exactly. I was always starting to say, play the live music that you'd be performing to on Sunday, when I know Phil Lynas will be sending positive vibes from Los Angeles to Blackpool. That's Blackpool. In many ways, the Vegas of England. Yeah, the Vegas of England, to ensure that the Lincoln Cobra Elite cheerleading squad do the business and don't fall off the pier as Matt Munro did a few years ago.
No, definitely not.
So,
one of my favorite things about England is that there is no Vegas. Okay, that's one of actually my. So I think that's unfair to, in fact, the entire United Kingdom to claim that there is Killers in Vegas. I'm not a huge Vegas fan, but I appreciate you bringing up Lady Killers the other night. On my birthday, I decided that a great way to celebrate would be for the first time to unveil some of it. And so to a select audience, we showed the first hour, and it was really quite a fun experience, especially because the women in the audience would be emotionally moved, or would be scared, or would be distressed at the same time that the men in the audience were laughing. And then what's so great about that is I know that in the second hour those reactions will switch, and the men will be very uncomfortable while the women are laughing. So it was quite a heartening experience. But the most amazing thing coming out of that screening was that my cat was there, Fuzz Aldrin,
nice.
Who you mentioned. And I learned at this screening that Fuzz has an M marking on her forehead, which is not uncommon among tabby cats. Mm-hmm. And I never knew this, but I learned that night that certain tabby cats have an M on their forehead, and apparently it's because the Prophet Muhammad blessed them on their foreheads millennia ago, blessed them on their foreheads because of their loyalty and their devotion. And so to this day, they carry that mark. And it's interesting because when my Fuzz Aldrin meets someone that she really takes to, the first thing she does is kiss them on the forehead to give them their own.
Another extension to the universe. Gabriella, mm-hmm. I know it's your first show,
yeah.
But can you remember those last two questions to Bo that filled in us? Because given that Holly starts work on her campaign, we won't see Holly until January now.
No.
We will speak with you, because obviously we'll speak on Saturday, Sunday. Exactly.
At the weekend.
But, you know, it's time for you, Gabriella, to throw those last two questions in. Has he had an interesting telephonic chat?
Yes.
Go on.
Yes,
then.
Have you had an interesting telephonic chat to...
Phil.
Yeah,
that's all right. That's good.
Yeah. Phil?
You can respond, Phil.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yes, it's been outstanding.
Okay. And is he coming back again?
Are you coming back again?
I'm not leaving.
No. Exactly.
Yeah.
Simples. There we are, exactly. Phil, happy Thanksgiving. What are you doing to celebrate Thanksgiving? Are you getting together with Lily and Dean and the rest of the crew? Will it be happy times all around?
I will be visiting several friends, dropping in, visiting several friends to express my gratitude towards them, and then having a lovely Thanksgiving dinner up in the house that was the location for the classic film noir Double Indemnity.
Yes.
So that will be quite a fun experience.
Barbara Stanick will be looking over her sort of scenario at you thinking, I still prefer my time in the Big Valley. But anyway, that's another line. Thanks to Cameron Tilbury, Mike Dooley, Michelle Monroe, Annette Andre, Arthur Weingarten, Sally Geeson, Phil Innes. If you were waiting for James Ramsden, we'll put in James Ramsden tomorrow morning. He will be stepping into the fabulous William Sitwell's era and so on. Holly, have you enjoyed the show?
Yes, I have. Thank you very much.
And you'll be back in 2014.
I will. So, see you in the new year.
Exactly. Gabriella.
I really enjoyed it.
Are you back again next week?
Yes, I think I will be back.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll come
back.
What do you think, Holly? Are you happy? Has she passed the audition?
Yes, she has.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
Great stuff.
Cover my month.
coming up after the news from the Sky News Centre, we will have that interview that Nikki Wells did with, of course, The Darkness and Ed Wellman. If you're sort of suffering withdrawal symptoms, I know people do, you know, it's all right. Ed will be back with us tomorrow morning with a whole heap of other goodies as well, in which we have Fortini Ethstathew joining us as well from that point of view. So Katie Grimace will be back as well. Can we say bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Our life together is so precious. Together we have grown. We have grown. Although our love is still special, let's take a chance and fly away somewhere alone.
It's been too long since we took the time.